brought to you by your winning local team at Real Estate Alliance. REA Own Dylan Nina, REA Stokes and Quirk Clonmel, and REA Seamus Brown Ross Cray.
See realestatealliance.ie.
Hello, good evening and welcome to another edition of Extra Time. My name is Ronan Quirk. We're here until 8 o'clock this evening and we'd love to know your thoughts on another busy weekend of sport. Our text number is 083 311 3311. Lots to come on tonight's show, and the hurling is back. The Senior Hurling Championship in Munster is back up and running. Bright sunshine. It reminds you of days of old, doesn't it, with some packed out crowds in Ennis and in Walsh Park, Waterford. Lots to talk about, lots to digest and lots to look ahead, I have to say, because of the fact that we will be playing Limerick at 2 o'clock next Sunday afternoon in the Gaelic Grounds, a game you can hear live here on Tip FM. And we'll be looking forward to that with some, I suppose, informed analysis based on what we saw Limerick against Clare at the weekend. Also, we'll reflect on Waterford against Cork. We're now for Cork. And of course, Cork and Clare will be meeting in the park next Sunday afternoon as well. Both teams defeated in their opening round. And it'll be interesting to see what happens there. We'll be looking back over that. We've a lot to talk about with lots of great result for our Camogie, minor Camogie team. They're into an All-Ireland final. And we've got Cashel Rugby Club as well after their disappointment against Barnhall in the playoffs at the weekend. We've also got some local football with Barry Ryan before we go off air this evening. Ken Hogan is on the line. How are you, Ken?
Not bad, Ronan. How are you?
I'm very well. Let's start with the under-20s, if we don't mind, because, again, and we've made this point, I think, last week when we were talking to Shane Brophy, some noises that came out of the under-20 camp weren't optimistic, but by God, they're putting their mark on this under-20 championship by getting two wins from two.
Yeah, two away games as well. You know, a tough start, and the game has actually changed from the Gaelic Grounds, as you know, to Rathkeel, which wasn't an easy, you know, assignment for the lads, but it came out with flying colours. But again, last weekend below in Fraher Park, you know, a long journey down the country, particularly for the North Tipperary contingent, but very professional in the way they went about her business, you know. And if he left quarter before half time after the serious injury, we wish him all the very best, you know.
Yeah, his knee injury, as far as I know.
Paul Quinlan from Federer, a very good lad and a very genuine fella, and we wish him all the very best. So I think Tip regrouped in at half time. I was very impressed with the selflessness of the team. Everybody played for each other. The better player got the ball in the best position. And particularly, even with the management rolling out to subs, you know, not afraid to make substitutions. Anyone can have an off day. Brought in guys and they fitted in like a glove. So overall, a very comprehensive display, a good solid win. The boys have bought into what obviously Brendan and Fenton and Paddy and the lads are doing, Tommy Costello. So it's great to see, you know, very optimistic for the future for those young fellas anyway.
Do you see a different style of play with the under-20s this year? Perhaps, you know, compared to last year when Brendan and Fenton were there on their own, they've shook up the backroom team a little bit, bringing in Paddy and Tommy, as you said. And I'm just wondering whether you see a different footprint there.
I'd say there's a different footprint. We all learn, you know, from experience, really. And Brendan would have brought in Paddy Stapleton. Obviously, very energetic Paddy, a very good head on his shoulders. Obviously, you'd have heard, you know, that Brendan and Fenton were big into the short passing game and you can't hit the ball and this, that, and the other. That's a load of baloney, really, because they were very impressive in the way they played the game. I think, you know, once the full forward line, Sinan Butler and Cole got possession of the ball, the lads running off the shoulder were really supporting the team. And I think, you know, I saw at one stage Paddy Stapleton really, you know, gesturing at the players to move up the pitch, to you know, not to drop off, you know, especially when you're in the head. Because as you see with the players yesterday, if you drop off a team, yeah, you're asking for trouble. But we pushed up big time, and Paddy was the catalyst in that time, running out and telling the lads to push up, you know, for the puck out, and that put a lot of pressure on the Waterford team. So I think there is a difference and probably a change, you know, with personnel that happens. But I think the boys have definitely bought into what Brendan and Fenton are all about, and that's a great thing to see, particularly, you know, at that level, looking to the future.
This sounds like a leadership, self-directed leadership on the pitch.
Ah, well, it is good. It is, that comes with confidence too, and I suppose the confidence of
winning an All-Ireland,
the confidence of coming from nowhere to win an All-Ireland, you know.
And also, you made the valid point about the away games, but rural Limerick, like if you go into Kilmallock or Rathkeel, I always think those kind of places are different. You know better than me now, but they're different to go and play there than they are going into, say, the Gaelic grounds.
Yeah, and it can be intimidating for a 19 or 20 year old as well, you know, but the lads have responded well to that. And I think it's a real team effort. I think, you know, just five or six fellas on the sideline that seem to come in and do just as good a job, or if not better. And there's a couple of injuries, as we well know, as well documented. They have to come back into the fray. And of course, you have your couple of games. The Cork game is going to be an attractive fixture now on the 3rd of May in Simple Stadium. That's going to be attractive. Cork, obviously, a very fancy team. But then you have, you know, straight into a semi-final situation, because you're hoping that you'll get to the top three. If not, I think the Cork tip match will actually decide who tops the group, probably Ronan.
Yeah.
And then you have the final game against Clare, and we don't know where Clare stands yet in the equation. So it's exciting times for young fellas like that, you know, to have the headaches of Fitzgibbon Hurling, or, you know, at the moment.
Some of them might have the headache of a leave insert, you know, they still are, some of them are still 19. We have a number of other players on the panel this year who aren't up to age. They have another shot at this next year.
Yeah. And I suppose maybe Friday night is a better night for them than maybe a midweek situation. Obviously, these guys are training probably midweek, but I think, you know, modern day managers are very aware of the commitments youngsters have. But as you well know, a lot of these guys, I remember, you know, talking to a lot of these, you know, a lot of successful guys are successful hurlers and footballers because of the fact that they know how to plan their routine, they know how to work within their restraint. So from that point of view, I think it's a happy time to be playing hurling for the 20s. They're relishing the challenge anyway, that's for sure.
No doubt about it. Cork is up next. Now, Cork have contested 5 of the last 6 finals, I think, in this grade. They're favourites to win it again. And if you look back 3 years, and this always comes with a health warning, particularly underage players, that if you go back 3 years, that Cork minor team really did kind of romp to an All-Ireland minor 3 years ago. So this is kind of championship minutes coming up against Cork.
This is a championship experience, you know. Tip have nothing to lose. They will go in. Tip and Cork, like, is a great leveller at any grade, Ronan. No matter what happens or no matter who's fancied, either team will lift their game, you know. So Tip and Cork will be really, because I say both teams will probably, you know, have eyes on probably getting to the final, finishing in first place. So I think this is a real test for Tip, but I think it's a real challenge that they'll love, and they'll really buy into the situation of Cork being favourites and coming with their obviously Cork swagger. So, and Ben O'Connor and co down there, you know, they have obviously annexed an under 20 All-Ireland last year as well. So from that point of view, I think it's an exciting time and they will relish this challenge.
Yeah, no, I mean, glass very much half full when you think about our underage at the moment. You know, minors are going well, our under 20s are going well, and, you know,
in both grades, you know. Which
absolutely,
is great,
and thank you. You're absolutely right. I mean, back to our under 20 footballers, I know it's easier said than done. Go to Tralee, beat Kerry, and you're into a Munster final. I mean, this is great stuff, and our footballers in minor grade are going really well as well. It is mighty. Quick word just before I let you go, Ken, on next Sunday. I would assume the hangover, if that's a bad word, but the effects of the Clare game will be well gone, long forgotten. That's washed out of the DNA at this stage.
Oh yeah, I mean, that's forgotten. I mean, someone mentioned last Saturday, league is over now, this is a championship. And I think they weren't just talking about hurling, they were talking about football as well. And, you know, you saw what happened to both league champions this weekend, Derry and Clare. This is a total new ball game, and Tip have to think of it in that manner. We're going into the Lions Den. Limerick came from the dead to win big yesterday. The key thing, I suppose, you've got to take out yesterday's game is that Limerick played within themselves for a long, long time. John Kiely had to make a lot of desperate substitutions because he was trying to get things moving. And, you know, it was gas like that. Three goals, you know, they actually scored 3-2 in the last 12 minutes or something like that, Ronan. That's when they can strike, when the iron is hot. So
yeah, Clare kind of gifted a little bit of that, you know. There's a bit of naivety.
The Clare situation would be 9 points up and then going so well and then to bring in Tony Kelly with a big, you know, the biggest cheer of the day was for Tony Kelly. It was like as if Clare were romping home, Ronan. And this was, you know, this was the real sort of knife in the back for Limerick. In other words, we're going to rub it into you now, salt in the wound type thing. So it doesn't just work out that way, Roland. You've got to still focus on what's going to happen. Like, in fairness to Brian Lohan, he was disappointed with Clare in the league final, the way that Kilkenny back into it. And here we have another situation of taking the foot off the pedal and Limerick coming from nowhere to win the game. That will give Limerick, I suppose, a bit of confidence. Also, it will put John Kiely and Paul Kinnear thinking about their team, who they're going to lay on Sunday. There could be a couple of high-profile casualties, I would say, because of the influence, you know, other guys had coming in into the game, like Conor Bylan and Adam English and co. So he'll try and freshen it up as well. But from our perspective, no better man than Liam Cahill to know that, you know, when the pressure is at its most, when you're really written off, you've mentioned 21s and Cork 21 teams in the last number of years. Liam came into that as well, you know, huge underdogs, and he will be chomping at the bit. And I'd say, like, I mean, Tip will be so hungry.
Yeah, I think so.
To get back on the hurling pitches, to get back playing again, and to get go at this. I mean, we have nothing to lose now. We're going to be written off, whether we like it or not.
The bookies will make them favourites. Fine. So, happy out that.
That's fine. So we have nothing to lose. You know, throw the kitchen sink at these fellas. There is wear and tear in that Limerick team. You know, let's face it. And that's no fault of their own. They're on the road a while, and we've got to exploit that. But you saw that positional move of Hegarty into corner forward on Adam Hogan. His height advantage was huge, and he created havoc when he went in there. So, Tip, I think, are stronger at the back and hopefully will be stronger in the situation of concessions of soft scores. So, I think we alleviated that. I don't think that was our Achilles heel in the league semi-final against Clare. It's just to get our shooting boots on. I mean, we hit, I think, up to 20 wides against Clare. I think that will be rectified because Jason has been top-class free-taker for over 10 years with us. And I think the old stagers, there'll be a good mix of youth and experience, of course. But I think Tip have the artillery to have a right cut off this Limerick team.
As long as we land a punch. Listen, I got to fly, Ken. Many thanks for your time. And looking forward to next week to chat to you about all of that.
That's
Ken Hogan joining us there. Let's fly to line five because a quick word with Jonathan Cullen, the County Board PRO. Good evening to you, Jonathan.
Hi, Ronan. How are you?
I'm well, and thank you. I know you've stepped out of a meeting to take this call this evening, so thanks for that. Can you just bring us up to speed on the draw for the County Senior Hurling Championship? It is going to be redone.
Yes, the draw will be redone, and it will be redone this evening at 8:30, and it will be broadcast live on the Tipperary GAA YouTube channel, Ronan.
My understanding was that Laura Dara were in a wrong pot or weren't put back into the right pot when the draw continued. And that led to, well, the draw in itself could have gone ahead, but some people felt that it needed to be redone.
Yeah, look, at what happened really was, obviously, we had three pots. There was a pot for seed one, pot for seed two, and a pot then for the remaining teams in the competition. Inadvertently then, a human error, what happened was that Laura Dara were drawn out instead of it being a C2 Drum team inch, for Drum and Inch. And unfortunately, Laura Dara weren't put back into the drum.
Yeah, I can understand how it happens, particularly when you're kind of, you know, there's a camera on you and there's a microphone on you. It does lead to, you know, you're not always thinking straight. I think it's probably best because you don't want people to be you know, moan about this in 6 months' time. So best to restart with a blank sheet of paper.
Absolutely. It's the right thing to do. We could have, you know, I suppose, we had, I think it's the right thing to do. We've done, we've made a decision. We've made it fast. And it, there's no beating around the bush. There was a mistake made. It was a human error. And, we, you know, to be fair to everybody, we're going to have a new draw. What happened on Thursday night, it obviously led to a lot of comment and criticism of the county board. And I suppose in this case, it's probably warranted.
Probably is. And in fairness to you, you had to come out and bat after the vice chairman vote, and you have to come out and bat for this one. But let's just safely say it, you're probably unlikely to have to come out and bat again after this one.
Well, I hope so. You know what I mean? As I said, it's unfortunate, but to be fair to all the clubs and to be fair to all the teams, you know, the CCC and even the draw null and void. So the draw will take place again this evening.
Well, listen, I will let you off to it because we'll be tuning in at 8:30 to see who gets what in those. They're always keenly anticipated. Jonathan, thanks for your time this evening. Appreciate it.
No bother, Ronan. Just to apologise to everybody for what happened on Charles Knight. It's not, you know, it's not ideal, to be honest, from a county board point of view. And we just hopefully that these kind of things won't be happening again.
Okay, John. And listen, again, I appreciate you stepped out of a meeting for that. Take that call. So I'll let you back to it. My thanks indeed.
Thanks, Ronan.
Thanks, bye-bye. Indeed. That's Jonathan Cullen, County Board PRO. Delighted to be joined in studio tonight by Tom McGrath. How are you, Tom?
Good, Ronan.
I'm not going to come to that, but I'm going to come to the County Senior Football Championship format. I don't know how familiar you are with it, but we had we had 14, a nice manageable 14, and Drummond Inch decided for whatever reason that they weren't playing football in 2024. Any football in 2024, which is an extraordinary thing for...
Championship.
What?
I think they're playing, supposed to be playing in the mid-championship for...
Okay, yeah. Right, so they're going at senior?
Yep. But they, that's my understanding, but anyway, that's not...
Okay, all right, okay. I thought my understanding was that they weren't going to play, and when they do decide then to play county championship again, we don't know what grade they're going to be at.
Well, it could be right too, because there was some mention somewhere on something there in the last couple of days that Drummond Inch had been relegated. No, which would mean they wouldn't be playing the mid-championship, but look.
Well, they might be playing the intermediate.
We have time to go, like the mid-championship probably won't be till Christmas, anyway, but at least it'll be played.
I have a $1 million question for you, right? Okay, yeah. So instead of 14, we now have 13. Mm. And on foot of a proposal, I think, from Ard Finan, we now have one group of four and two teams come out of that. We've one group of three and two teams come out of that. And we've one group of six and four teams come out of that. Can you see the logic in this format?
I don't really know.
Okay, well, neither can I. But I have a question for you, right? So two out of A, two out of Group B, and four out of Group C. So which means that after we've gone through it all, we'll have eight teams still standing and five teams will be finished playing in
After X
matches, right? But in Group C, not everyone's playing each other. So everyone's playing three matches in Group C. And they're not going to be playing off against each other, so there's no head-to-head. How are we going to separate them if there's a tie?
Yeah, well, that format was in the Intermediate Championship last year. It was a group of six as well, and actually Loughmore Castlaney were in the group of six, but it didn't bother because they lost the three matches.
Okay.
But looking at the draws, the way it has come out now, they could conceivably lose the three matches in the Senior Championship this year too, because they've got Commercials, Arrowville Rovers, and I think could be Ballyporeen. I'm not totally certain though.
Like, there's some serious hitters in the group of six.
Well, the smaller the number gets in any championship, the bigger the hitters and the bigger the victims are going to be. And sure, look, isn't that what the thing is about, really?
Do you agree with the format of a championship with no relegation?
Well, sure, needs must at a certain stage. I suppose people didn't agree with relegating three clubs last year, but 'twas done and it found favour. And there was a plan to do something similar this year. I'd have thought a group of four, two groups of four and a group of five.
That makes sense to me, because Group B, I mean, you'd prefer to be in Group B where you've got two matches and the attrition rate is there's only one team not going forward from Group B, while there's two teams not going forward from Group C and Group A.
Well, Group A is probably the toughest because it's two going forward out of four, so you've only a 50% chance, whereas it's four out of six in Group C, which is 66%. depends on the draw you get, of course. Like, yeah, that's the conundrum that's in it, because the look of the draw has determined that there are some, yeah, shall we say, easier matches than others.
Yeah, I know, but I suppose that would always be the case. I just find it, I've tried my best to get my head around the logic of having a group of six, and I'm not really sure if anyone's there. If anyone wants to text in and give me a logical, coherent answer to that, it's 083-311-3311. We'll be talking to JJ Kennedy in just a moment, but your thoughts on the weekend's hurling?
Actually, it was great excitement, I suppose, really. You'd have got serious odds on a clear Watford double. And sure, it was looking that way for a long time. I suppose the Cork Watford match, lot of scorn being poured on the fact that Cork had a relatively old forward line playing, but they scored 125. I don't see any great problem with that. They conceded 225, so they have to look at the other end and see what happened. But no, there was great excitement, a full venue, and you know, Watford came out fighting and all guns blazing, and you know, got a result that most people weren't expecting, I think.
I think that's fair, and I think most pundits have got Cork coming out of Munster and Watford not. That would be the considered punditry out there. I'm not subscribing to it, I'm just saying that's what the considered punditry is. But Walsh Park, full Walsh Park, and Davey telling them they're underdogs and nobody gives them a chance. I can just see the pre-match speech, like, and it worked wonders.
Oh, it did. But
that's the strongest team he's been able to put out for a while, in fairness to Fitzgerald.
Yeah, and I mean, I suppose big performer, probably tied to Borca, like, he hasn't played any league. Like, but yeah. I mean, you know, form might be temporary, but class is permanent, to say, like, and you know, great player, and you know, Bennett and those guys, they're all well able to play, and they got racked up a big score, like 225 is a big score. They won't be concerned about
30 points will win you more.
Yeah, it will. Yeah.
JJ Kennedy's on the line as well. Good evening to you, JJ.
Hi, Ronan.
I just want to know your mature considerations after the weekend's hurling.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess I halfway through the game in Ennis, I was feeling good. I was saying this might knock Limerick back a bit, add to the pressure. They look like they're going to be beaten in this, and then suddenly Clare implode and hand them the game. So it has obviously put Limerick, you know, back in a good place. It has, you know, probably eased the pressure a little off them, because there was evidence that the drive for five and all of that was applying pressure. But this will have eased it, and if anything, there'll be an even better mood for us now when we go down there next Sunday. So it certainly didn't help our cause.
Do you think that the Limerick performance, like, they won playing badly, I would say, and Kiely will presumably use that as ammunition for the 7 days that he has between the full-time whistle going in Ennis and the ball being thrown in at 4 o'clock next Sunday?
Yeah, absolutely. They definitely won playing badly. A lot of sort of untypical things from them, you know, missing easy chances and so on, and fumbling ball and whatever. It wasn't their usual fluent game, and Clare seemed to be in charge of that game for three quarters of the time. But the big story of the game really was the Clare collapse, and they really did collapse. I mean, they. Their whole approach in the last 15 minutes was hard to understand. I mean, they just obviously Limerick were making lots of changes, trying to get something moving in this game. They brought in subs, and you know, in fairness, the subs, from O'Daly to Conor Byland to Adam English, all had an impact and brought new energy to it. And they switched up the team as well. You know, so they bring Galen out the field a bit and so on. And I think Clare got caught in the whole thing, the whole whirlwind of that final phase, and the Clare defence especially, they were doing man marking jobs, and they all retreated out the field in chasing the Limerick forwards, and it left huge space. I mean, it was embarrassing.
Well, I think when the ball was played into Hegarty, one of the finest scoring forwards in the country, and I think he had 30 yards, was it?
Yeah, I mean, what was he? He was totally isolated, all on his own, inside in a corner forward position. It was just hard to figure out. So, anyway, you look at it, it was an absolute surrender by Clare. I think they must be very hurt today. It really knocks them back, I think, a lot.
I just bring in Tom for a second. I'll come back to you on Limerick in a second. But Tom, did you see shades of previous Tip Limerick matches in that, where Tip during one of the COVID Munster finals had a 9-point lead at half time and ended up getting losing by six, you know?
Yeah, but like those things, two things caused that, I suppose. Like JJ said, you know, Limerick made changes. They did, and those changes worked to a fair degree. Clare made a couple of changes that they expected would work, but didn't work. I think Tony Kelly introduction in particular didn't seem to work for him. But I suppose they went the last 20 minutes. Clare went the last 20 minutes. It didn't start at the end that middle spell. Went 20 minutes. They only scored 3 points from the time they were 9 points up. But Limerick then scored 3 goals and a pint in 7 minutes. But like, the thing I question about it, and even last night with the analysis going on, there's a different rule for a square in football and hurling.
I was coming to that.
I mean, the last goal was as clear a case of a square ball as you're going to get this year. But the first one, and that's the one I think that triggered the Limerick revival or the Clare collapse, call it whichever. I mean, the full back could be done for assault or not physical assault, but he had his two arms wrapped around the full forward. If he had been concentrating on the job in hand, but they took their eye off the ball literally, and that was the score, I think, that ignited Limerick rather than anything else.
And it came from a free, JJ, that had been brought forward because of dissent, which allowed them to kind of lob that ball in. Again, Clare will be kicking themselves. Just your thoughts on the square ball. Or, sorry, plural, square balls.
The two square balls, yeah. I mean, I agree completely with Tom. I thought the second one, it was unbelievable that between them, the referee and the two umpires couldn't see that was a clear-cut square ball situation. The other one was slightly more marginal, and all day there was a wrestling match going on between Conor Cleary and Gillan. I agree that the fullback played it totally wrong. I mean, he had to sort of leave it to the goalie. The goalie should have been calling maybe and going for it, and he should be just concentrating on making sure that Gillan didn't get any touch. But, so it was a combination of... And by the way, a miss hit free by Dermot Burns. I'm pretty sure he was going for a pint. So, you know, Limerick got the breaks. There's no doubt about that. And they've often got breaks back along through the years. They certainly got them in this situation. And it got them off the hook because they were really on a hook. They were in trouble and they were heading for defeat. So I think it's an escape. And the scary thing is that it'll assist them and it'll drive them on and they'll be even stronger next Sunday, I think.
But not wishing to be devil's advocate for either of you, if Limerick had lost in Ennis yesterday, you know, beware a wounded Limerick as well. Would they have bounced back with greater vigour than, you know, I'm wondering which is better from a Tipperary point of view, I think is the question I'm trying to ask, you know?
I think the better option from a Tipperary point of view would have been a Limerick defeat. Anyway, you look at it, when a team is defeated, it's a bit of a knockback. Okay, they redouble efforts for next Sunday. But, you know, there was evidence that Limerick were beginning to feel the pressure anyway, the pressure of going for five. We know all about it. I mean, other teams have experienced it in the past. And I think if they'd been beaten there in Ennis yesterday, it would have added to that and it would have helped. I think it was the worst result from a Tipperary perspective that they actually won because they're now over that. The pressure is off a little bit, 2 points on the board and they could go at Tipperary, and of course their recent record against us is just totally one-sided. We haven't been able to match them at all, and so it's a daunting task facing Tipperary, but hopefully, you know, that the break between the league final and this, that the team will really have focused hard and they'll have got the mental side of it as much as anything right for this game, and that they're really in the place. I'd love if they got back to the place they were in when they played Limerick last year. Remember they played Limerick last year and they really got at them.
Yeah, and we drew and we scored a late equalising point, but I would say, and maybe this is the benefit of hindsight with blue and gold tinted hindsight, I think we're the better team that day if we think back.
Mm. Yeah. Couple of decisions.
Sorry, Tom. Yeah.
Couple of decisions. I mean, a grand hand pass from Bonner setting up a possible goal chance pulled for a free. So, I mean, they're the little things, but I think probably a thing to bring out yesterday is that the way the draw is working out, Cork and Clare, there's one of them going to be not from two next weekend, unless they draw, which could be the worst thing happened. But we're going to have the two of them coming to Thurles. And my old theory of win your home matches, like, and I mean, if there's going to be, like I said already, is one of them going to have no points, and then we're going to be playing them at home, so it's advantage us. Like, so I think the thing next Sunday is really about performance, that we set our stall out early, go at it hell for leather from the start, see where it brings us, and be mindful of what happened with Clare yesterday, that sort of, that they, you know, probably lost a bit of focus, lost a bit of energy, mightn't have the same sub base they thought they had, but it didn't work for them. Is the bench that important? I wonder after yesterday.
I'm going to move just on to the Cork Waterford match for a sec, because you'd have to wonder about Cork, and they don't need me to be worrying about them, but like, they've gone a long time without an All-Ireland, JJ. They've got a lot of underage success, and whilst they are bringing some of the underage players into their senior panel, they're not having the impact I think that the Cork public expected. I'm just wondering if shades of 2010 with our under 21 team, people thought we were going to dominate for a long time.
Yeah, well, you know, I look at Cork and I see shades of Tipperary back in the mid-1980s, when we were in our so-called famine, and we had a good run of underage success. You know, in a 6 or 7 year period, we had 321 All-Irelands and 3 minor All-Irelands, and we had that bank of players, if you like, coming through. But because you had been in a famine, you were trying to get out of that, and the difficulty of bringing young players on to that level was proving very, very tough. You know, you think of 84 and 85, and 86 was a particularly low point. It took us until 89 to actually go back and win in All-Ireland. So it can be a torturous process. And I think Cork are in the same position. I mean, they have their under-20 successes, they have their minor successes. In other words, they've solved the underage issue, which was part of their problem for the last 20 years. They've resolved that, so that they're having success there. It's the next step, trying to get those players through to win at senior level. And I think a big worry for them is that, you know, the older element of that team, you know, the Pat Horgans, the Shaney Hardys, the Conor Lehans and so on, substituted yesterday. And you just wonder if they're ever going to get the breakthrough, because there are so many failing teams over the years now. And I think it's a real problem that that there is that gap between the younger people coming on and the older element, and trying to bridge that is a real problem. But their attitude, I thought, was very poor as well. I just thought they were wrong from the beginning of that game. And I mean, everybody knew that Waterford, despite their league, were going to call it a big performance. They had their players back.
The space that Jamie Barron, Tom, found himself in was almost criminal, really.
But Jamie Barron, like, goes back, you know, his form mightn't have been good. He hasn't been playing for a while, so he didn't have any real form coming into it. But those class players, they will produce the goods. 99 times out of 100, all them class players will produce.
If you give them space, they will.
But they'll produce on the big day, and they'll do a certain amount. But what you got to do is you've got to limit their impact on it. And that's what Cork didn't do, is that there's fellas that you just have to man-mark and just limit their impact on the game. Keen Lynch a bit yesterday too. Like, I mean, he was subdued for a lot of the match yesterday, but he got on ball and used a telling effect. Little flick here, flick there. I mean, you know, Waterford were at the same thing. One-handed little flicks here and there. And, you know, Waterford were always a nice team to watch, a nice team to play. And, you know, I never had any huge problem with Waterford winning matches, like, as long as it doesn't beat and tip the world.
I know, but like, JJ, Walsh Park ain't an easy place to go. I mean, you know, sometimes they talk about the fortress, Cusack Park. Actually, it's not that much of a fortress if you drill down into the results there. But the Walsh Park will be our second match, and it'll come a week after a tough test against Limerick.
It will, yeah. And I mean, Waterford are on a high, and, you know, the buzz is back in Waterford after today. And I thought it was significant yesterday with them that they seemed to revert to a more traditional game. You know, I recall the commentator at one stage expressing surprise that Waterford actually have two fellas up in the full forward line and are keeping them there. This is unknown territory.
Well, it's on Davy territory.
Davy territory, you know. But, you know, they went back to the basics, and they brought out their strengths. You know, They're very athletic players. They're great runners with the ball, and they brought that to it. And Cork couldn't cope with it, and they took their scores. You know, there it was. And as Tom said, they have the players. I mean, they have very, very talented individual players. The problem has always been to have enough of them and to have enough of the team efforts to get them through. But in terms of tip, you know, we lose to Limerick, we're going down to Waterford. That's going to be a very difficult one to win as well. They've beaten us the last couple of times. We were about the only team that were beating in recent years. And we have to go down and face them in their own territory. That's going to be very tough. So we could quite easily find ourselves two down before we start entertaining teams in Thurles.
Well, let's get over the first one in Limerick next Sunday. Look forward to next Monday, lads. We'll have a lot to talk about. Thanks for your time, JJ.
Right, thanks, Ronan.
Thank you. Just before I let you go, Tom, quick question about, you know, Babs was interviewed. I saw an interview with Babs recently. He's turned 80. Happy birthday, Babs. And then I saw Nicky write about it as well. We've 3 weekends of championship done, and there's one match left in the Connacht Championship in football. There's one match left in the Munster Championship in football. The Ulster Championship is at semi-final. The Leinster Championship is at semi-final. It's unseemly quick, isn't it?
It may be, but like it's, I suppose it's a split season, and the split at inter-county level as well, because between the Sam Maguire Cup and the Tailteann Cup, that you have to get. The provinces are a bit like the divisions in Tipperary. Some of the divisions have big numbers of teams, some of the divisions have small numbers, and getting that balance right, it's difficult. And when they're coming in at the different stages, I sometimes wonder, would you be as well off to have your Tailteann Cup would be based on your Division 3 and Division 4 teams? Because let's face it, there's no Division 3 or Division 4 team, I think, going to win Sam Maguire anytime soon.
No, but some Division 3 or 4 team would love to get the crack at it. Like, I'd look at Wicklow this year. They took down Westmeath, who were the Division 3 champions, yeah, and came within a point of beating Kildare. Like, that's a pretty good campaign from their point of view.
Yeah, but it's Division 3 and Division 4, and Kildare are a team that's not exactly going forward for some reason. Again, a lovely team to look at, but short that little bit of, is it a killer instinct or... they're nearly too nice to the opposition, if you like. Okay. That they need to kind of go at it with a little bit more cutthroat. And, you know, no better, you know, you'd look at fellas in chairs. Kildare, as you mentioned, Glenn Ryan, sure, I mean, you know, the real folk hero of Kildare, like. Yeah. But, I mean, tis getting the balance right to get the divisions or getting the provinces finished. Like, but then you kind of look at the hurling and look at Leinster and look at the hammerings that were dished out like the weekends. Well, what's that doing for...
And we don't have time to discuss it, but it does raise an issue about how dog-eat-dog the Munster Championship is. And like, we don't have any easy weekends against Antrim or, you know... I don't think Dublin and Wexford are going to really trouble...
Kilkenny and Galway.
Galway, you know.
No,
so,
I don't think so either.
And so the game yesterday was almost a third place playoff, really.
Yeah, and it ends in a draw. Just shows how little is between them. Like.
But there's no third place playoff in Munster. Is what the kind of point I'm making. So how can you have something that's really uber competitive in Munster and something in Leinster where, unless there's an act of God, Kilkenny and Galway are going to get out of it?
Well, there probably is a third place playoff in Munster, really, Ron. Only we're not sure which fixture is the one that gives us that. Like, they're all...
But that's the point. We don't know, but we know which one it is.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, yeah.
Listen, Tom, thanks. It's good talking to you. Good to see you as well. Let's turn our attention to Camogie. Ger Kinnan's on the line. Hi, Ger.
How are you doing, Ronan?
Ger, we're going to stop having to have these really positive conversations because it's fantastic. We're into an All-Ireland final. Talk us through this minor result because it was... kind of one that they had to dig really deep for.
Yeah, certainly did. And it was an epic game that went all the way to extra time. I suppose that both teams were fairly even, to be fair, and you'd feel sorry for Kilkenny losing it in extra time. Is a tough way to lose, but obviously a great way for Tip to win it. You know, it took 9 minutes for the first score. It was a goal from Caoimhe Staclem, and this was followed up by a Lucy Purcell point before Kilkenny had a flourish of scores, and they got the next 3 points in a row. And really, there was nothing between the sides right up to half time. Tip went in a point ahead. Again, it was score for score in the second half. Lucy Purcell had a good and play the match. Caoimhe Staclem was her usual reliable self on freeze and picked up a couple of points from play as well. And Tip, I suppose, had her nose in front until Kilkenny got their goal. And then it looked like Kilkenny were going to win it then. Lucy Purcell point in injury time to bring it to two extra time. So, but look, in extra time, you'd have to say that's where the game was won. The first half of extra time, Tip out scored Kilkenny 4-1 and just kind of controlled extra time then. And but look, you know, it was edge of your seat stuff really in Rathdowney, and you know, it was a fantastic victory in the end, and Tip held on for that win. So, you know,
and when was the last time we're in a minor final?
I was just looking up there. It was 2016 when the last time we won it and we were in it. So a lot of that current senior team or senior panel, like the Emer Lukeman and then we're on that team. Karen Kindy was centre back that 2016 went to replay against Galway. So, you know, it's a long time coming getting to a minor final. It was Cork have dominated really in recent years. And look, it's great to see Tipperary and Waterford, you know, kind of not the most familiar teams competing in an All-Ireland final, and it's fantastic. And you know, Waterford are going, it's their second year in a row that they've reached the final. They were there last year, lost out to Cork, but they're quite a young team, so they're definitely going to be a serious opposition in the final on Saturday.
Saturday where?
It's in Nolan Park at 4:30 p.m. and look, it's an ideal location for both Tipperary and Waterford, and we know the kind of crowd that Waterford brought to the Senior All-Ireland semi-final last year in the same venue. So I suppose just a huge plea to all your listeners, great GAA and Lady Football followers tuning in tonight, that they come out and support the Camogie Girls on Saturday. It's a massive game, and I do believe it could come down to the smallest margins. Like I suppose an extra cheer or roar coming down the home straight could make all the difference. So really pleading for a huge support to travel to Nolan Park this Saturday at 4:30.
Yeah, I know. I'm really looking forward to it, because it just is a good news story. That's, you know, they say a rising tide floats all boats, but I can't divorce the success from the senior girls winning the national title, and maybe that, just that, all that needed was an extra 1%, and maybe that the minor team got that 1% from looking at their more senior colleagues.
Oh, definitely, and I think everyone is on a buzz since that league final win, and you know, having it on telly, having it on Croke Park, having it accessible to everyone, definitely it has a big effect. And you know, I suppose a lot of the minor girls, you know, are familiar with them senior players. A lot of them are club mates and play together on adult teams in their clubs. So you know, it's a great, I suppose, you know, great boost for the county and for all the clubs involved as well.
Yeah, look, it's a great story. Gerard, thanks as always. Look forward to talking to you next Monday night with news of another national final from a Tipperary point of view, this time an All-Ireland one. And look, stay well. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Ronan.
Take it easy. That's Gerard Cannan, PRO of the Camogie Board, joining us there with that great win after extra time over Kilkenny. Really was mighty stuff. And huge kudos and congratulations to everyone involved. We'll take a quick break. Back in a minute.
Extra time on Tip FM. Brought to you by your winning local team at Real Estate Alliance. REA Own Dylan Nina. REA Stokes and Quirk Clonmel. And REA Seamus Brown Ross Cray.
See realestatealliance.ie.
The Tip FM Sports Star of the Month with the Talbot Hotel Clonmel. Multi-award winning wedding specialists with state-of-the-art leisure facilities and spa, with food served daily.
The Tip FM Sports Star of the Month.
Get your nominations in now.
Yeah, if you come across somebody that you want to nominate for the Sports Star of the Month for the month of April, just send an email to sportstar@tipfm.com. That's sportstar@tipfm.com. That's the email address. That's in association with the Talbot Hotel Clonmel and John Quirk Jewellers in Care. Regular listeners to the show will know we've been following the AIL, the huge success of Nina Ormond, who've got promoted from Division 2A up to Division 1B next year. And Nina were looking to follow them, looking to emulate them, but it wasn't to be. A 2-point defeat to Barnhall at the weekend on Saturday has ended their season, and their hopes of promotion are gone. Ray Maloney, their coach, spoke to Stephen Gleeson at the full-time whistle.
It did, yeah. We had lots of chances to score in the second half. We had 3 line breaks, then we maybe forced it a little bit. So I think them 3 calls we're talking about probably weren't even going to be made. It wouldn't make any difference if we had put away one of them scores. We were 8 points up. We could have gotten kicking on there for another 13. It would have been a different game. They would have chased a lot more. Yeah. Unfortunately, sport is sport, isn't it?
Second half, Ben Toomey, you know, kick 3 penalties. You looked like you had enough there, 23-15, and then they came back after the sending off, which just seemed to change the game completely, because they seemed to gather confidence from it as well. And like, it was hard today on 14 players in, you know, such heat.
Yeah, it was. It was hard. But they were down to 13 on one stage, and it's still there was a lot of whistle blown in the game. So whatever was going on, I'll have to look back in the video. Like, the whistle was being blown an awful amount, whereas usually maybe different referee wouldn't blow it as much. So it was very start, stop, start, stop. So I think even though it was going down that one man, like, I don't think it made too much of a difference because there's no continuity in the game. It was always start, stop, really. Well, me looking at it, I look back in the video now, I could be talking out of your arse.
And when you did get that opportunity late on, then just couldn't get over the line, and they came back up the field again and, you know, got the winner.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, as I say, we could have taken another, like, as I said, them three line breaks, really, really, if we'd taken one of them, I think it would have been a different game. But then they came back up the field to get two penalty advantages and the kick points.
Yeah, and what's it been like all season, the effort you've got from the group?
It's been super. Like, as I say, I've come in here for my first year, and there's never been a bad team. I've played against them lots, but the one thing I've found is they're very hard working. A lot of lads go off milking. A lot of the lads are going milking there now to come back in. Like, so it's part of their life. It's I suppose it's what Cashel is about. Like, hard working lads down here.
And like, to get so close is gutting, and we can see the players around. The atmosphere around today was incredible, you know, the amount of people that were at today's game, and like, to come so close is really tough, but I guess it'll galvanise the group again.
Yeah, that's it. Like, the group we have, it's a very young group. Like, they're all mid-20s. You know, there's a couple of lads maybe in the a little bit over 30, and then Michal Hickey makes a cameo, comes back at 38 years of age just to help us out. But the group itself, the core group, are just all mid-20s. So, like, they're a very young group. Very young group. So, like, there's years to build with them, and they're all, the majority of them are local fellas. So, as I say, what we did this year was more galvanise everybody. Like, we got everybody together. Everybody was playing together. Everybody likes each other. Everybody's drinking together. So that was probably the biggest thing for us this year. And then, as I say, the rugby looked after itself.
So you'll go and regroup again. Like, I think you're losing Jack Evenden, Tuesday, yeah, from Australia. So I think, is he going back?
Yeah, so Jack is going back. He was going back to shoot Shield. He's been very good for us. He just bought straight into it. Everyone gets on really well with Jack. There's no hassle with him at all. As I say, he was just coming in, buying into the cash away. He'd be a big loss, but then we have younger guys in the group, like the Ben Toomey. He plays 10. There's loads of other avenues we can go with that, as I say. The best thing about it is probably a lot of lads are local lads, local, and they won't be moving out here because they're all farming and different stuff. So,
Barnhall pushing on again. Like, it's kind of typical to a lot of the matches that you played with them in the last while. Like, they've always been close, haven't they, encounters?
Yeah, we've beat them up there, they beat us down here, and then there today, I suppose, they beat us here again. So, like, Barnhall are a good side. They score lots of points, and we knew that. As I said, there was a few errors we made in the first half to give them easy scores, but they'll always create scores. They'll always get scores in games. So we knew that was coming, so we knew we had to kind of keep ticking away on the scoreboard.
So finally, you'll rally and go again?
Yeah, we'll go hard tonight, and then we'll regroup, and we'll go again next year. Yeah, absolutely.
That's Ray Maloney from Cashel Rugby Club speaking to Stephen Gleeson, who's actually on the line now. Stephen, how are you?
Evening, Ronan. Good.
Good. I mean, you saw it for yourself, a big home crowd, sun shining, and Cashel, they're very much a club invested and embedded within their community. It just came up short after a really, really good season.
That sums it up very well, Ronan. I mean, the atmosphere was incredible on Saturday. There was people there from, you know, Cashel Town, from Borlaghan, Golden, out Rockwell side as well. You know, there was people there from all across Tipperary, people from Nina down there as well. It's a great community, you know, and there's a great spirit there in that club in Cashel. And the match was just super. You know, the match was just so exciting. Every kick was cheered on, you know, everything was there. Was lived by everyone there. I mean, there was, you know, you were talking about thousands there. It's such a brilliant product in the AIL, and if it was marketed better even still, it would be even bigger, I think, in Tipperary, you know. But it was a brilliant, brilliant game that came down to, you know, very fine margins in the end, and, you know, fingertips at one stage denied Cashel when they were surging for the line. They were after getting three penalties in the second half, Ben Toomey kicking them, and they were, you know, they were going for the line, going for the far side, and just little things knocked them back, and they just lost momentum, and it went back up the field, and Barnhall took over. And it was like, looking back on it, it was interesting that it was Cashel who, you know, took the impetus right from the off, and the same thing at the start of the second half, and went in search of tries. But coming up towards half time, Barnhall got a grip on the game, and coming up towards the end, it was similar in that vein, in that they got the key scores. You know, Cashel went, I think it was 14-5 up in the game in the first half, and then after that, Barnhall came back into it. You know, they got a penalty and they got a try and a conversion, and they went in 15-14 up at the break. Started the second half, Cashel went for a try again, Ben Toomey kicked the penalty, then followed up with another one soon after, and then another one, and everything looked as though it was going to be Cashel's day. The huge home crowd, the sunshine, the atmosphere, they were well clear on the scoreboard, and Barnhall had two yellow cards as well. And then all of a sudden, the momentum just changed in the match, you know, and Barnhall did well in a couple of scrums, and then the red card to the captain of Cashel was just a huge blow. You know, Mickey Wilson went off. And after that, it just seemed to be Barnhall who felt, you know, this game could be ours. And they went on and finished very strongly in the end, Ronan, and then. But, you know, fine margins in a game like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what's interesting as well is that Barnhall won in Cashel in the league proper, while Cashel won up there. I think if they played each other 10 times, it would probably end up 5-5. Scant consolation, yeah, I think, for Cashel right now, but I hope they reflect on a really, really positive season, and I wouldn't bet against them next year if they'll go guns blazing. And as Ray said, they're all local lads, you know.
That's it. You've got Ray Maloney there. He's from Rosgray. You know, he's involved and has really galvanised them. Ed Leamy is part of the backroom team there. You know, really good guy to have on your side there. Brother of Dennis Leamy and Kevin as well, who's involved in coaching too. You know, you've got a really good, solid crew, and they play for each other. You know, that could be sensed there. And every player in the club was at the match cheering them on. The kids were there supporting them. You know, it had that kind of a feel-good atmosphere about the day. You know, I was on commentary with Pat O'Donoghue there, and, you know, he was living every moment and just feels the club is going in the right direction. He's there as president now, and, you know, they're driving it on. And like, there was a really good mix there, and a lot of young players, as the manager said as well, are very good. Jack Evenden was excellent for them as well, I have to say. He's from Australia and is working out in Rockwell, and, you know, he had a big part to play in the game as well. Very good there. But Ben Toomey is someone who, you know, can kick very well as well, and did so in the game. So he's one that will probably slot in there at 10. So I think if they get one or two more players on board and just, you know, fine-tune what they've been doing, it'll go well for them. Because Pat O'Donoghue was saying to me, the first match of the season last August, they lost six players up in Banbridge in a game, and there were six starters on the team. And by the time they had got some of those lads back into the starting team, you know, the league points had moved them down the table. So that could have been a key thing there for them. And
such margins,
I think Cash will be back stronger again, Ronan.
No doubt about it, Stephen. I got to fly. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
That's Stephen Gleeson, who was on commentary detail for us. Running out of time. Sorry, Barry. How are you? Barry Ryan's on
the
line.
How are you, Ronan?
Very well. Some things coming clear at the top of divisions. Firstly, credit and congratulations to Ballingarry. They took penalties, but they got out of Division 3.
Yeah, look, and that was a great result against Clare Park B. I'd say that would have been kind of a very hotly contested game. Clare Park going really, really well at all age groups at the moment. So a really, really good success story for Ballingarry.
Yeah, but I suppose when you go into the Premier Division, it is looking, well, it is all over, really, St Michael's. It's mathematically not quite, but I think it's pretty much done.
Yeah, St Michael's need 1 point from their last two games, and that's only if Peak Villa win both of their games, but they play each other. So St Michael's play Clonmel Celtic and Peak Villa in their last two games. They need 1 point to secure the league title.
And look, we've said before just how impressive they are. They went out and did the job when is necessary at the weekend. But also in the Premier League, a draw for Tumal Boris against Clonmel Celtic. Peak Villa put 7 past Tipperary Town, and Banshee Celtic, fair play to Wilderness, they continue to fulfil their fixtures.
Yeah, and look, it was a good win for Banshee Celtic. And just to touch on, there was so much going on in the last couple of weeks. Bob O'Brien dying in Banshee as well, a legend of the club and somebody who's like really synonymous with the TSDL and a great club man down through the years. And it'd be remiss of us not to kind of mention that. You know, it was a good tribute for him as well, that Banshee are going to stay up in the Premier League again, and something he'd have been very proud of as well. And look, I think, you know, fair play to Banshee. It's a really, really good result, and they've edged their way out of relegation in the last couple of weeks.
They have, and it's presumably 2 to go down, Wilderness plus 1, and it looks like Cullen Latin will join Cashel coming up from Division 1.
Yeah, and that's another great success story. They've done great work at youths in the last number of years, bringing through a lot of young players, and it's great to see it kind of culminate in success at junior level, and now that they'll get a shot at playing Premier League football, which is fantastic, next season. And it'll be good to have another new team in the Premier League. And for me, Cashel always belong in the Premier League, and I think Dixie Curvin would have been very, very proud of Cashel winning the league. You know, it was a great photo went up on social media with them outside, with the stone markings of the Dixie Curvin Park. I think it was a nice touch, and I'm delighted to see them back up.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, because it's a great place to go and watch a football match as well, I think, Cashel.
Oh, it's a proper Premier League town in every sense. Soccer is alive in Cashel all the time. They've had a great youth team this year, doing really well in the Munster Youth Cup and the league. And it always feels a bit like Tip Town and Clonmel and Turley. It's a proper soccer town, where Cashel have always felt like a Premier League side, and they really belong in that league. And fair play to Baca, he's done great work there.
He's there a good while now. He's embedded in the place. Just before I go, we've 30 seconds left. Who'll be the next Ireland manager?
Oh, look, it's the question, really, at this stage. It's impossible. I think John O'Shea will remain in charge for the coming games. And I wonder if John O'Shea does a good job and gets results, will that end up? But I think John O'Shea will be the man for the next couple of months in the Nations League.
I would imagine so. Barry, thanks indeed. Talk to you next week, and thanks for your time.
Thanks very much, Ronan.
Not at all. That's all we've time for. Ian O'Connor is the series producer. Dan was on the phones. We'll be back with you next Monday night. Good night, and good luck.
Online.
On your smart.